Hi, and welcome to the SG Child Show. I'm your host, SG Child, and today I have a new friend that I'll be making. I'm super excited to talk to Martin, Martin Sling's dad, and I think I said that correctly. Thank you so much for being here today.
It's great to be on. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad that we were able to connect, and I think through the Global Autism Project's Mighty Network, and there's such an amazing community, and I'm so glad that I found it to be able to connect with all the amazing people I've been able to. So tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of, you know, start at the beginning.
Right. So now I just want to let you know real quickly, I do tend to struggle a little bit. So if I get nervous, I do apologize ahead of time, but
absolutely.
To start from the beginning, I was diagnosed around age 5, and about the first 3.5 years, I was actually nonverbal. And so after going through speech therapy with Michelle Garcia Winner, I was able to start seeing my first words, and then came the whirlwind of going through the whole diagnosis process, and it took a little bit of time. But, you know, growing up as a kid, I was still really confused about it. And back in the day, it really wasn't as understood as it is now.
Sure.
And so fast forward to today, I've kind of accepted, you know, like, okay, I'm autistic now. I really want to be there to help others as well.
Yeah,
and step out of my comfort zone.
It's so special and important. And I don't know if you've heard from my recent podcast with the Autism Knows No Borders or anything, but you know, I just found out in May that I'm on the spectrum too, which made it so unique for me to be able to put all of the pieces, not only of my childhood together, but also for my family, and my husband and 3 kids are on the spectrum. So it gives me this new perspective to say, like, okay, this is maybe what I struggled with as a child and didn't know, right? And now I have this knowledge, this like brain. It's a lot to take in. And especially 45 years later, when you have to kind of rewind and look at it all over again.
Right.
But it also fulfilled this missing feeling for me that was, you know, a piece of belonging, I guess it almost felt like. And I feel like I found that now. And I get to, you know, interview wonderful people just like you and share the stories for my listeners and viewers that are most important to them, to see that even though you may have a child who's nonverbal at 0 to 3, you know, then you never like don't believe in them. That I guess is a good way to say it, because there's so many things that can happen, and basing a person's, you know, kind of life from their toddler years, you know, can be a little bit, you have to just take a step back and realize that there's so much more. Tell us about how maybe school was for you, elementary school, like as far as support that you might have gotten. Did you make friends? Did you have friends in that time, and what that felt like for you?
Boy, I have to rewind a little bit. wow. It was a little difficult, only because back then there really wasn't a whole lot of support, because it was still kind of new in a way. And so I would say it was hard to make friends, I will admit. And, you know, there were some teachers that weren't really supportive, which made it more difficult. But as the years went on like to middle school, it was a little easier. Like there was more support and it was tough, but being able to grow up and what I did, I used that negativity from the notes or the little support that I got to push me forward to be able to be successful in school.
I love that. I think that that's important. Mm-hmm. Were there any interests that help you get through those times that you had?
It took me a little while to figure it out, but middle school was where the special interest kind of started.
Yeah.
I really love musical theater and
I knew you were going to be a music guy. I don't even know why. Like I was literally going to be like, so what music? I almost asked you like, what mm-hmm. band did you have? Were you in the band? That is so funny.
Yeah. So I was in theater arts from middle school all the way to high school and actually trying to get back into it. But other than that, what my mom actually did, because there really wasn't anything for us to like during lunchtime to deal with stress. So what my mom decided was created a little room for one of the classrooms. And during lunch, all of us that have trouble with like other peers, we would go play games and have fun just to kind of de-stress.
Yeah. That's a smart mom right there.
Good. And apparently it's still going on to this day.
That's fantastic. We need to implement that in all of our schools and you know, companies and places like that, don't we?
Yeah. I think that'll make it not only easier, but thinking about it when it comes to school, sometimes it's hard for us to kind of deal with the stress the whole day. And then when we get home from school, the parents are the ones that kind of put up with it. It's almost like when Mentos and Diet Coke, when they connect and then you get that whole little.
I love that. Yeah, that's a really great way to look at it, isn't it? We see that ourselves as parents, and we're both neurodiverse as well, but we still see our daughter come home from school and unmask, and it's like, mm-hmm. can we go hide? You know, as parents. That's really interesting. But having something like that, I like that it gave you a place to de-stress, to mm-hmm. socialize with yeah. other people with interests. And you know, that's so important. I hope my son is 12 and he's mm-hmm. been homeschooled, so he hasn't had the opportunity to have the social setting. Mm-hmm. I hope that someday we can find something good for him in that sense too. And he also is a musical. He studied music composition when he was 8, I think. He's a little ahead of the game in academics. It's so hard to know when you have a kiddo that doesn't have good socialization, how to start a project like that. So I love that she took advantage of the place you were at already, mm-hmm. you know, and created that with the peers that you had right there around you. So that was really, that's wonderful. What about, so then on to high school, how mm-hmm. Did that start to fit a little better?
A little better. I mean, I would say sophomore year was the most difficult because I actually had to get spine surgery. So I missed the full year of high school, which made it a little difficult to transition back into it. But after that, I was able to really dig deep and just do the best that I can. And I actually, it was almost like a roller coaster. Some days were great, some days were bad, but at the end of the day, I was able to push through and accomplish what I wanted to.
Good.
Or like accomplish what was needed for me.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. That's so important. And especially when we can, and it sounds like you got really great support from your parents or your mom, and mm-hmm. that's such a great piece to have. And what did it look like after high school?
Let's see. After high school, I needed to figure out mm-hmm. other special interests to help not only deal with the boredom, but also if I, you know, the stressful transition into college, I was able to find some great things, and I had to go to a couple different ones to find the right one with the best support.
Yeah.
And I am going back for my speech therapy and audiology degree.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
I love that. And I love how you take the knowledge and experience that you have as an individual of how many ever years you've been on this earth. Mm-hmm. And now you're going to use that and help others. And I think that a lot of times, like, I would never have known that podcasting would have been something I would love. Number one, mm-hmm. I would be comfortable in front of a camera, right. or be able to tell and hear stories and have it be such like a magical thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what, you know, when we put our passions into what we do, and especially when we're serving others, like mm-hmm. so much can come out of that, and we can have so much personal growth too.
Right, right. Yeah. And so one way that I kind of share my story is actually through photography.
Oh,
when it comes to photography, it's like, if I have a tough time explaining some things, photography is another way to kind of share our story, but in a more visual way. Mm-hmm. And so I'm actually working on a second book right now that's more photography based. And so,
okay, you have a first book then. Let's go there.
All right. I get a little nervous talking about it, but the book that I wrote, it's called Chatterbox: My Life with Autism. A mother and son's perspective. So my mom actually wrote the book as well.
Amazing.
And so you get both perspectives. And
very special.
The reason we started this is because not only is there not, or I feel like there isn't a whole lot of books out there that shows both sides, but also for those that are newly diagnosed, or for parents that have children that are newly diagnosed, they don't know like some steps to take or what to do. Mm-hmm. And so we have about 12 different chapters ranging from the early years all the way to today. And I really felt the need to step way out of my comfort zone and really share my story. It wasn't easy though. It took about 7 years.
I hear that. I am also an author, and it took me 7 years to write 7 children's books that mm-hmm. all talk about different types of needs and abilities. So mm-hmm. I completely get where that's coming from, and some of them about myself and my children. And so mm-hmm. that personal part of that and that vulnerability that you have, right. in connecting what you want the audience to hear and know. So that's amazing. And how exciting, how proud are you for having accomplished that?
It felt great. Really did. Was it easy? No, it was. I actually, before I released the book, I had a tough time deciding, you know, what if nobody really cares to hear my story and my mom's story. And so it was kind of like a tug of war with myself trying to figure out, okay,
a little bit of imposter syndrome going. Yeah.
But 2 years ago, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to release it and see where it goes.
Good. Good for you.
Yeah. It recently won an award for runner-up book of the year in the autobiography category.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. Like, huge congratulations to you both. Absolutely. And I'm excited to put a link. There'll definitely be a link, so don't worry, everybody. We'll be able to hook you up and make sure that, you know, you can get a copy of it. Okay, well, tell us about the second book then. Let's talk about that. How exciting. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I'm really
give away only as much as you want.
To not really give a whole lot away, just a tad bit, I would say, from what I said earlier, you know, photography, you could share your story.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like the world as I see it.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. I had a photographer. He was not autistic. However, he had an autistic son, and he did this. He kind of did a thing called Stories of Autism, where he, you know, met with families and just photographed the, you know, the whatever. But it, the same, I think it's so beautiful that there are so many different ways we can help express ourselves and display ourselves in so many different ways and be creative about it. Mm-hmm. And my husband does photography. He does macro photography and spray paint. And he's super creative in that artistic way as well, you know? And then I'm the writer and the speaker. So it's a great combination to have us all together under one roof. But yeah. It's so special. And, you know, I had the opportunity as well to write a book with my daughter. It wasn't about the journey or anything, but she's a really great illustrator and she's 10. And when she was 8, I said, let's do a book for you too. It's like, would you like to do a book? And she said, oh yeah, that'd be great. And so we published an ABC book for her with all of her own illustrations in it. And I think it really gets the like self-confidence and the understanding that like you can accomplish anything you put your mind to at whatever age you are at, you know, when you have the direction and support and guidance from, you know, your peers, your family, whatever it takes, teachers. So that's so exciting. So working on the book, are you doing any other kind of projects or interested in doing anything else?
Actually, yes. What was it actually? I've been so busy with everything and it's like, sometimes I forget what I'm actually going to be doing next.
And
it's
you and me both, I believe me, right there with you.
Right.
I'm going to record that part so that my mom can hear that. So she knows that when I forgot to make lasagna yesterday and didn't mean it, I'll make a double batch today. Just kidding. Yeah. I like everything gets so busy.